Hey, welcome to the Happy Ramp Podcast. I'm Ted Kluck, joined again in studio by Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. Boys, we are back together. We are back together because we're doing a second ep, man. This is history. This is radio history for this program. And if you're a longtime listener, we welcome you back. If you're new, we will not do this every time, so don't get used to it. Pipe, we have some business to take care of, man. Why don't you tell us about Missional Wear?
Yes, Missional Wear is our sponsor for this episode and many prior episodes, and we very much appreciate their support. For those who are not familiar, they do reform-themed apparel, art, mugs, pint glasses. I'm sure they'll come out with like monogrammed flatware soon and things like that too. Recently they came out with some etched moleskins with Spurgeon's face on them and things like that. It's all very creatively done, very well designed. If you go to missionaware.com, you can check it all out. If you use the code HAPPYRANT, they will either give you a discount or they'll send you a Happy Rant sticker. I'm not sure which promo they're running right now because I didn't bother to check. But missionaware.com, check out their stuff and use the code HAPPYRANT and either save money or get free swag.
There it is. Boys, we just have a couple of topics to run through here. We're going to keep this episode short and sweet. But one of the listeners suggested topics was who would win in a fight between Gospel Coalition and Together for the Gospel. Now, I have to tell you, I used to be a boxing writer, so I used to cover fights. I used to do a lot of fight-related writing. So this is right in my wheelhouse, and I'm really excited about it. But you guys will have to tell me who the major players are on both sides of those brands. I know that both of those brands exist. In my mind's eye, they were always just the same thing and the same people, but apparently they are not. So you guys suss out for me who's on either side of this battle.
It is the same people.
Well, there's a little bit of difference because Together for the Gospel is like four or five people that are always there. So it's
Dever, right? Isn't it
Dever,
Mark Dever's gig?
Moeller. Yeah. Who else was involved in that? Ligon Duncan. And
oh, yeah.
I think CJ Mahaney was one of the originals.
I'm not sure.
Is it safe to mention his name now? I'm not sure if he's, you know, there was a while.
You just
got
to say the word sports after his name.
Okay. Mahaney he
sports.
Was blacklisted for a while. So, and so you've got that crowd. But then they invite in, you know, my dad and Matt Chandler and some of these others, David Platt, who are also TGC folks. Whereas TGC is Tim Keller and D.A. Carson are the key guys there, but they invite in a bunch of reform people. But they're a little bit broader in who they bring in to speak.
Yeah, that's true. So let me cut in, Pipe. Okay, that reminded me. So TGC usually kind of like chops up the plenary lineup every 2 years, whereas T4G, I'm not kidding, I think they've had the same eight people like every year since they've started, basically.
Hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Absolutely.
You know?
Given
what you just said, man, it sounds to me kind of like professional wrestling back in like the late 90s and early 2000s, where if you were WWE, you could kind of like make an appearance on, you know, WCW and some of these other promotions periodically, which made things very confusing for the viewer.
Dude, if only T4G was more like WWF or WWE or whatever they are now, that would be amazing.
Though, man, this is where we're going. So I'm going to propose, what kind of match is this going to be, man? Like a ladder match or like a cage type match?
We've got to go full on Royal Rumble because that's where people can come in from one side, but then they can turn on each other, but everybody's in the ring at the same time. You know, you got like 20 people in the ring at the same time, and it's just...
Which is really like a super apt metaphor for this whole thing.
Yeah, it's just chaos.
But dude, hold on, man. I mean, what are the definable, distinctive differences between the two things? And are they really the same thing? But it's just like the guys all are in cahoots and they say, well, you go do that one and we'll do this one. So instead of having one every other year, it's like we have one every year. I mean, like, is there some like weird conspiracy behind it where they're all together for the Gospel Coalition? For the Gospel Coalition. I think that's really what's going on. I want to know.
That may be the secret ending of the Royal Rumble, is that they all end up like holding hands in a circle and singing, you know, How Great Thou Art or something.
T4TGC.
We got to break this thing down by characters, all right? So, Pipe, I'm gonna give you this thing in wrestling terms. So, we're gonna identify three characters for each side of this. So, number one, who is the manager at ringside for either side? Number two, who is the reigning champion or the guy in the ring? And then number three, like, who's the edgy young guy? You know what I'm saying? Like the up and coming guy who's gonna get the strap pretty soon, but doesn't have it yet. So for each side of this, manager at ringside, current reigning champion with the strap, and then the edgy young guy coming up.
Well, the manager ringside for T4G is gotta be Mark Dever. I mean, he's sort of the coordinator of the whole thing.
Yeah, he's pulling the strings for T4G.
And I'm pretty sure it's DA Carson for the other side.
I like that, man. I love Dak as a ringside manager, man. Hear that.
Dak and Dever.
I'm all for that, man. So now, given that those guys are our ringside managers, like what do they carry with them, man? Because every good ringside manager has like a prop, you know, like a cane or a tennis racket or something they can use.
Carson is his glasses because he takes them off and he spins them. That's his.
He spins them around thing. Like they're evil, like. Yeah. Glasses used to inflict pain. So with Carson, it's a glasses. What is it for Dever?
It's got to be what do you think, Ronnie? Like an ESV study Bible?
There you go.
I mean, I
always visualize him like at some point coming in, like wearing one of those headbands, like he's a tennis player from 1979 because his hair is always flopping down like the way it is. You know what I mean?
Yep. Dude, Dever's hair is floppy. He's got floppy.
It just kind of flops down over his forehead.
It's a
you know what
disheveled.
I mean? Never put any product in it, like that kind of a thing, you know, which obviously is super offensive to me, obviously.
Dude, I'm checking this out, man. I'm checking out Mark Dever's hair.
Yeah, so Dever has his headband.
I'm sure for photos, it's not like that, but if you watch him preach, by about a third of the way through the message, it's looking a little ruffled. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that happening. Now, okay, so we got our managers. Like, who's the reigning champ for each side?
Oh, dude.
Hmm.
I mean, are you saying should it be like an old – like should it be like – I mean, should it be Keller, TGC side, and should it be
– I think it's got to be Keller, TGC because he's sort of the other keynote. But he's more the – like he's more the speaker and the name than Carson.
But he's the guy everybody wants to see. I mean, he would have to be easily the most like
– He puts fans in the seats. Yes, he's the arena show guy. He's the pay-per-view guy.
He is.
Yeah, absolutely.
T4G side, who would it be?
Man, I don't even know.
Well, I mean, here's the tricky thing. I feel like my dad would be one of those guys, except
you can say your dad. We're not angry about that.
But no, the tricky thing is that he is equally invested in both sides. He's a total line tower. I mean, he toes.
Dude,
that
for
line.
The sake of the show, though, man, let's just put your dad on the T4G side. Man. All right, put him in both sides.
Yeah. Okay. So it's Piper and Keller. Is that Keller on TGC and Piper on?
Yeah.
TV. Dude, your dad's like the Stone Cold Steve Austin of the like late '90s or early 2000s.
Yep.
Is what you're saying. Absolutely. Their physiques are similar. Their approaches to life are similar.
His Stone Cold Stunner is amazing.
I'm trying to visualize what any difference is right now in my head, to be quite honest.
So we've got Piper
mostly
and Keller
just the tweed, Ronnie.
Right.
Piper and Keller in the ring as heavyweight champs. I love it. Who's the edgy, young, up-and-coming guy, man, for each promotion? So we've got G-Co, we've got T4G. Who's the edgy, up-and-coming guy?
Well, I mean, I would say it has to be again, edgy is a matter of definition, but it would have to be a toss up between like Chandler and KDY. You know what I mean?
Or Platt.
Wait, which side is KDY on?
See, Platt is like he closes. Platt is one of the like the finale speakers at T4G regularly.
He's more of a T4G guy, and then maybe Chandler on. Well, Chandler does more T4G than TGC.
He does both, but yeah,
he does both.
I think
I would put him again. Yeah, real young guys in their early 40s. Yeah, I would put those two young bucks.
I mean,
like
it's a slight. When you get into church leadership, early 40s is like being 22 in pro wrestling.
It is. So yeah, I would put Chandler against
Platt.
Intensity
about him, man. He's got those crazy eyes.
Yeah,
you know.
What are you talking? Chandler or Platt? Platt?
No, I'm talking about Platty.
Dude, Platty has that like total. Yeah, he's weird, man. He has that monotone voice.
Yeah.
Those intense eyes.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, I mean, he's got
a little crazy in him that you just. I feel like if you cross him, it could get ugly
dude,
fast.
If you cross him, it could get real ugly.
Oh, dude, he's going to – one of these days, I feel like he is literally going to, like, grab his iPad, stand up off of his little, like, stool and literally just flip on everybody. You know what I mean? Whereas Chandler's just already flipped the whole time.
Yeah, Chandler just comes in high energy from the get-go. I mean, he's, like, frothing at the mouth from, like, from the entry music.
Yeah, right. He's just stoked, man.
Dude, what makes me a little uncomfortable about both these guys, man, Chandler and Platy, is that they both kind of have that frat boy look. They got the same kind of, like, you know, middle America frat boy look.
They do. They're rocking, man. They're rocking those cream colored polos. Like,
dude, they're rocking the cream colored polos, man. The khakis. I mean, they're. Yeah.
That's on brand. That is quintessential TGC and T4G. I mean, now I realize some of the attendees are like the skinny jeans, you know, denim shirt crowd, but the
speakers, truly why you're never going to get like an at Joe Thorne.
The speakers at these things are definitely that.
Dude, yeah. I guess when I was thinking like edgy up and coming guy, man, I was thinking more like Thorny.
So
you know?
So these are people who have the potential, but they have B and C level, man.
Like a little at Jared Wilson, a little Thorny. Now Thorny, you got the interest of the tattoos. He's even got tattoos on the fingers.
I would go, he made the big beard choice a few years ago, so it's just gonna take
Thorny a decade to get there. That's all it is. It'll take another decade.
For Gospel Coalition, I would put maybe. I mean, think about the people who are on their website, because you've got a bunch of bloggers on their website who are not, you know, megachurch pastors. So you got Jared Wilson, you've got Tabidi, you've got. Tabidi's already in there though.
Yeah, but
he's not.
He does a plenary every time.
Okay, yeah. So.
He's not edgy though.
But Thorne is like, he's not attached to either of these groups. I feel like he's sort of the free agent who's like, but T4G's not going to go for him because he has a shaved head and tats and he smokes on Instagram.
He's too grumpy.
Dude, now here's the thing though, man.
They'd be afraid of him being a Drisky part two or something.
They will claim him when it's convenient. You know what I mean?
10 years.
Yeah.
6 days, Big T.
Give it a decade.
It's so funny that you say they're afraid of him being a Drisky part two, because personality-wise, he's like night and day different.
No, I know, but they're just going off of the beard and the tats.
That's right. Yes, like they would judge him based on guilt by 9 layers of separation association.
All right.
Again, I honestly do think too, man, they're going off of they have to be going off a platform. They have to be going off of like, you know, preaching skills. I mean, all those dudes in terms of their preaching, they're all like A-list preachers. You know what I mean? They all really can preach.
All right.
And, you know, some of these B guys don't. They really can't.
We got Dever Piper and Channy on one side. We've got who was on the other side?
No, it was Dever Piper and Platt. And then it was Keller Carson and Chandler.
All right. So let's break this fight down. Who wins this battle?
Dude.
Well, between – like if we start with the managers, you got Carson and Dever.
I think that's no contest.
I'll tell you that right now.
No, I'm going to go – you're going Carson, Big T?
I'm going Carson. I've been in the car with Carson, man. I've
hung
with Carson. Carson, I would not want to – I don't pick a fight with Carson. I don't want to – let me just put it this way. I don't want to run into Carson in a dark alley.
Carson yelled at me one time at a dinner me and my wife were at with him. Did I ever tell you guys that story? If not, we'll save it for next time. But he yelled at me at a dinner me and my wife were at with him, with Carson one time.
Dude, see, Carson's crazy, man.
He literally chewed me out. I hadn't even met him. It was insane.
Was it about this podcast?
No, not at all. But it was like, it was something I just was being funny. You know, I'm trying to keep, you know, I'm around a table with a bunch of guys that aren't funny because they just, you know, graduated from seminary like 10 minutes prior. And seminary
takes the funny out of a guy.
It does, man. I was just trying to keep it light and he just was not having it.
Yeah. Dude, what did he say? Did he say like, calm down? Like, just.
Like literally, I said something a little over the top and my wife squeezed my leg so hard. I looked at her and I said, hey, if you're going to start squeezing my leg right now, I go, you're going to literally be breaking it by the end of this night. And he looks and he goes, and maybe you should listen to your wife.
Oh,
like that.
Oh,
I'm looking at him going, I'm like, Dak, go easy on Big R here, man. Go easy.
Wow.
You know? What you don't realize is someday we're going to be pairing you off with Dever on a T4G TGC like, you know, like rematch. Go easy on me, man.
Yeah.
It's insane, man. I don't know, but I might pick Devers younger.
I still feel very awkward about the story you just told. That feels like a very awkward, like, family discipline in public moment kind of thing.
Dude, I don't know him.
Dude, what's great about it, though, is that he felt a certain sense of, like, fatherly jurisdiction over you, even though you don't know him at all.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's one of those guys, like, he walks into the room and you can tell there's a sense of like fatherly jurisdictions. So that's why I'm taking him, man. I'm thinking he pulls that father routine on our man Dever.
Well, Big T, there's more, and this is the end of the story. So after the dinner, he walked up to me, and you know what the first thing he says to me is, "I'm not lying. I swear I am not lying. I'm not exaggerating one bit." I looked at him. I stuck my hand out. I said, "Hey, how's it going?" And he goes, "Where did you graduate?"
No, baby, you're joking.
I promise. It was ridiculous.
Baby, you got to be kidding me.
And he goes, what seminary did you graduate from? First question out of his mouth.
It almost feels like that story sounds like somebody who has like social anxiety. So they just get a list of questions and they're like, these are conversation starters in this context. And so he just walks up and fires a question at you. Where did you graduate?
I know.
It's like an inability to just sort of.
What seminary did you graduate from?
And again, I just felt like at that point, you know, because again, I obviously think that I should be doing a TGC plenary in like 9 years. So I obviously all my chances now are out the door. But so it's, you know, that was it for me. Me and
maybe you went home and you were bummed, man, because you saw your little TGC breakout sesh just going down.
Well, I'm just thinking like, you know, man, just give it 8 years. It's going to be me and at Jared Wilson and Thorny, maybe a little Barnabas Piper and, you
next
know.
Generation.
And, oh, I'm never getting on that stage. I have I'm fairly certain my shot is gone before it ever happened. So,
you know, Ron is the hope for the program, Pipe. He's the one.
That's
you
right.
Know?
Yeah, well, the problem is
I was the one until I had my chastisement from Dak.
Until he realized that you could be sarcastic and they don't allow that on stage.
Well, they do allow it from Matty Chan, though. So I don't know how that guy squeaked in, right?
Dude, you gotta be the clean cut frat guy before you can drop in.
And you gotta have like 12,000 people in your church too. Let's be honest.
That's true. Yeah, yep. Let's be honest. It comes down to that, doesn't it?
That helps. I mean, that sweeten the pot a little bit when you got 12K in like 19 services every weekend back at the home front. You know.
So are we going with Carson in that matchup? I mean, that would be my inclination.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go with Dever just because he's younger and I think he would outlast Dak, but I could be totally wrong.
I think
wrong,
Dak would break him in like 35 seconds. Like that would be over when it started.
Wow, man! Wow.
All right.
There it is. There it is. What about in the ring, guys?
Who do we have? Chandler versus Platt.
No, Chandler and Platty are the up and coming young guys. But yeah, let's do that one before we do the main event. So Chandler versus Platty, man.
Ooh, I'm sorry. You're right. Yeah. So we're talking like Keller and Piper. That's going to be awkward for you, B Pipe. I mean, obviously, you're going to hate to vote against your pops, and you probably want to. But you know, you have to tell us where you want to go with that before we, you know, step.
Oh,
step
I mean,
on your toes.
Speak freely. In this context, I don't think anything is out of bounds.
Dude, listen.
Dude, you probably know Keller. You probably actually know Keller, and me and Big T don't really know him. So give us your best shot on him.
I've never met Keller. I don't know him.
Okay.
I mean, I've been in the same room as him at TGC, but that doesn't
I feel like Keller's probably taller than your pop.
He's like 6'3", and my dad's like 5'8". So.
Okay.
But.
All right. So if we're talking pickup basketball, we take Keller, but we're not.
Yeah. But my dad is an intense competitor. He's also an intense everything else. But what you just described David Platt as, like, he's just 30 years younger than my dad. They're the same person.
All right, I'm gonna go with JP on this one then. I'm gonna go JP.
Dude, I'm going JP too because of the intensity. I mean,
Keller's a mild mannered guy, man.
Dude, no disrespect to Keller. He's not at all. Yeah, an incredible, like, mild mannered, just really gentle man.
Like we all want to go out and have, like, you know, Chinese food with him and talk about, you know, New York City.
Talk about New York, talk about life in the city, you know.
Right, absolutely.
Absolutely.
But, you know, if we're going to put down a lot of cold, hard cash on who's going to win a fight between him and JP, I mean, I gotta make some money, Big T. I gotta make some cash, so I'm going to go with JP.
Especially after betting on Dever, because you lost that bet.
Yeah, all right. All right, so up-and-comers, who we got between Matty Chan and Platty. Yeah, I don't know, man. Platy looks like a stocky bodybuilding, like kind of.
He's a little, you know, slight dude. He's like 5'10" and 160 pounds.
I mean, yeah, but I feel like he would be. I feel like he'd be kind of tricky. You know what I mean? Like,
well, no, here's like the Platy, way that I
where
see that,
where did that left hook come from, Platy?
I feel like this is one where, like, if this was an actual wrestling match, Chandler comes in and he's like, he's standing up on the ropes and he's waving at the crowds, and while he's doing that, Platt is getting a chair and sneaking up behind him and just blasting him over
the head. That's what I'm trying to say.
While Chandler is trying to, you know, pump up the crowd. So, like,
Chandler's the showman, man. He's the showman. Yeah. He's got his 35-minute intro.
Platt's just waiting to kill him. And the moment that he sets foot in the ring, he just drops him. Like, he just
Chandler's
goes
for like
it.
Apollo Creed in Rocky IV, where he's wearing like the USA garb, and before he gets murdered, and he's just like the music.
It takes like 25 minutes. He's wearing all the garb.
And Platy just like shows up and he's like, dude, I'm not here to be liked. I'm here to win a fight and I'm going to pound you. That's Platy.
Platy's like Drago. You know what Platy reminds me of? Like
Ivan
a
Drago?
Guy wrestled in high school. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He has that look about him. Like, he's got a little cauliflower ear probably. And you can imagine him like
a little roid rage residue.
Yeah, wearing the sweatsuit on match day, trying to cut a little weight, man, spitting in the in the water fountains, you know, just trying to cut that weight.
Yeah, walking
I think you've described him perfectly, Big T. I've never heard a better description of Platy than that in my life. But you know what's weird, man? I think there's one category we've been missing, and I think who's the commissioner of this whole outfit? And I think that would be Katie Y. That's my vote for commissioner. Wow. You know what I mean?
He's the Vince McMahon.
He's
like Vince McMahon circa the 1980s when wrestling was just starting to pop.
Yeah.
And you know, at the same time,
doesn't that have to be a really colorful character? Because McMahon is like the one with the mic who's the loudmouth, and Katie Y is a.
Katie Y's kind of colorful, isn't he, Big T? I mean, I feel like he kind of, you know.
Maybe, I don't know, man. It's been years. I can't speak to that, really. I really don't know.
Well, I mean.
Is he colorful? I mean, you read his blog and stuff. Is he colorful?
I don't read his blog, but I mean, he's just – I mean, I've heard him preach a couple times. And like the way he looks defies what comes out of his mouth. He's actually pretty funny and, you know, I mean, he's pretty personable.
But isn't he
right?
pretty low
Maybe
key?
That's the charm, man.
Yeah, no, he's low key for sure, right, T?
Yeah, no, he's not low. He's intense, man. I mean, he's intense, driven dude, but he comes off as low key, which is I think what people like.
Yeah. So I just – I mean, he's the heir apparent, right? Can we say that he's the heir apparent to JP and – and
Dude,
and,
who
I'm
else
sorry,
is in
to Dak and Dever?
Man. Who else is in that conversation heir apparent-wise? Who are we looking at?
I mean, it has to be Katie. I don't know of anybody other than Katie Y.
I think Tabidi would be in that
Tabidi
category.
And Katie Y.
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
Can I tell you one thing, man, about Katie Y? And this is not to, like, blow my own horn at all. But when he arrived at our church – I don't know. It was years ago, man, years and years. And I no longer go to the church. I don't even live in that city anymore. But when he first arrived, he was in his early 20s. I was in my early 20s. And he had never written a word, was just out of seminary. I heard him preach. And I said, that guy's going to be the next John Piper.
Did you really say that, Big T?
I did, man.
Right now?
As I sit here, baby, in my studio, I said that.
Wow. How do you feel about that, B-Pipe?
Good luck to him.
he couldn't have less passion about that thought, Big T.
I know, man. That was like,
I mean, literally, I mean, there couldn't be less passion coming out of him right now.
That was kind of like when you guys asked me a question and I'm like busy eating pistachios and I don't even hear it, you know?
Right. Like, that's when we asked you about Trump and you were like, I just could not care less. Please give me any.
Yeah, guys,
like,
I don't know, but I can't get this pistachio over.
Any other comment, any other thought in the world I have more interest in right now.
Boys, who's doing dishes in the background, man? Because I'm loving that.
That's Big M. She's just doing some dishes because that's her place in our.
It's a little ambient noise. I like it.
Yeah, it's a little ambient noise. It sounds like a vintage diner, like a hipster diner.
That's what it is. Yeah, she's getting ready to fry up some vintage burgers, and
she's gonna fry up a little quinoa avocado bourbon vintage burger and serve it on a piece of sheet metal
because it's a craft diner.
Sheet metal or plywood. I mean, pick
sheet
one.
Metal or plywood.
Actually, she has some plywood planks that she just actually. I literally am not lying. She just literally like cut some new planks, stained them, beat the heck out of them. And that's what she's using for like to put like hors d'oeuvres on and stuff. So,
that's nice. Something to do, man.
Something to do when she's not making Kraft avocado quinoa burgers.
Yeah, and keeping you from getting your head ripped off by Carson.
will
do. Dude, I feel like those would need to work their way into the wrestling match. See,
I mean, Big T, I could probably be leading TGC right now if I hadn't had that run in with Dak. Do you agree?
Baby, I do agree.
I mean, would I own TGC? I mean, I might not even be with you guys right now if that run-in hadn't.
Dude, you'd be doing a podcast with, like, I don't know, some – it'd be you and KDY and like, I don't know, Platy or Channy or one of those
guys. I mean, I'd be on the phone right now with Dak saying, yeah, we just don't have time to put you on the podcast this week. Sorry.
That's right.
You know.
And tell me again, where'd you go to seminary? What seminary did you go to? You know?
Do they even have seminaries in Canada?
I don't know.
Gosh, I don't know, dude. Yeah.
What? I mean, he's Canadian, clearly, by the way he pronounces, you know, Isaiah and Roth.
Dude, that's it. He's a fraud.
But, no, he says Roth. I love Roth.
I mean, yeah. Rothschild. I feel like he has a checkered, a sort of an invisible past. He crossed the border and created this D.A. Carson identity, and I don't know what he was before that.
His persona. He's like the George O'Leary of theology.
And you know what we need to do? If we want to have an episode that was as stimulating as our Trumpy episode, let's do one just all on D.A. Carson.
Yeah, well, we're headed down that road quick, so I think we should probably –
are we doing that right now? Should we just call it?
You know, I think we need to call it, boys, because I have to run. But this has been fun. You know what this did, this little exercise? This redeemed that
this
other –
renew your hope in our podcast, Big
T. It renewed my hope in the podcast. It reminded me of why I got into the radio business to begin with.
And do you need to still apologize, though, for that last step? I mean, we haven't done that yet, either.
Maybe we all do.
You apologize. You know, you take some shots in this business. Sometimes they work. Sometimes they don't. So, you know, they can listen to the app or not listen to the app. I'm not apologizing for it.
All right. Fair enough.
Well, you're a man of conviction, Ted. I'm impressed.
Yeah, you're a third-party man of conviction, aren't you?
I really am.
It's your fault.
Yeah.
It's your
fault. You know what? Yeah, it's all – it is. It's down to you. This is on you, on your shoulders.
You know what? I'll take it. Broad shoulders, man. Pile it on. Boys, this has been fun. We have wandered to and fro. We've eaten some pistachios. We've washed some dishes.
I wish I'd eaten pistachios.
Until next time.
Wash dishes.
Rachel the Held Evans.
Everyone wants to change the world. Capital Ministries is doing just that, one heart at a time, by creating disciples of Jesus Christ among political leaders in the U.S. and foreign nations. For more than 25 years, founder Ralph Drollinger has written Bible studies specifically for public servants. Study along with us and learn what the Bible says about capitalism, communism, abortion, same-sex marriage, and other contemporary issues. Subscribe and follow us at lifeaudio.com or search Capital Ministries on your favorite podcast platform.